This is Starshine and Clay for WCRS LP 98.3 and 102.1 FM. It's Columbus Community Radio in the service of Simply Living. I'm Carlotta.
We're not all that powerful, but our focus is that we can make a change, we can make a difference. Even if it is one person, we can bring hope to them. Because we are here, we came to this country. America is a very beautiful country. It's very, as Tatiana said, there are still people who have heart. People who just stand up and come and help without knowing you. Some people are just donating their money to go and help far away. They've never been there. They don't know what is happening, but you surrender your money. You give away to save someone. So we said that we should give back.
Tomorrow belongs to God, but it also belongs to us. Annette Mbaye.
The Rwandan Peace Basket is a traditional, functional work of art. For hundreds of years, Rwandan women have used the basket to send secret messages, gifts, food, and other items to friends, neighbors, and loved ones. Made from sisal or banana fibers, papyrus or sweetgrass, the baskets are blue or yellow or red or white. They're tiny and large and small. But every basket shares the special zigzag design. The pattern, which circles around the basket, symbolizes two friends walking together along a path, stopping to chat with others, then continuing on their way.
The design is like a path. If you come visit your friend, they have to escort you maybe until you're halfway to go home. Design show friendship, and when you go in that path, you can go down with your friend, you can go up, and pull you together and strengthen your friendship with that friend who comes to visit.
The peace basket has been a conduit of secrets and tokens of love for centuries, but today in Rwanda, it is a conduit of reconciliation and acts of healing. The weaving of the basket brings Hutu and Tutsi women together whose loved ones were killed or were perpetrators in the 1994 genocide.
We use basket too, because the basket is healing, has healing the body, mind, and soul. These women go together from different tribes and weave the basket as a therapy, to give therapy themselves, and they can come back again together.
The women sit together in villages. They are special weavers. They sit together. These are from all tribes. They sit together, and while they are weaving, it's not a day-to-day thing that they do for the whole day. It's something they do, the activity they do after when they are done with the other duties. Mm. Yeah, so they sit and weave together and talk about their differences. And then while they're weaving, they heal. It's like a therapy. They heal themselves through body, soul, and mind. And then they start talking about their differences. They say, okay, men are gone. What do we do? Because if my neighbor is Tatiana, and when I get sick, whom do I call to help me out? It's Tatiana. Maybe she's the wife of the killer, but the husband is maybe is in prison herself. She's just starting to build her life again. So as women, they started talking to each other, sharing the burdens, and they came up and said, okay, there's no any other solution. We have to come up and build our lives back again. So the baskets have been like a piece.
Nora Bagarinka and Tatiana Adams are two such women. Though they don't weave baskets, they use them to tell the story of Rwandan women. Nora and Tatiana met in Columbus and developed a friendship and a joint commitment to spreading awareness about the ongoing plight of women and children in Rwanda, raising funds to assist Rwandan refugees and Rwandan women's education, and promoting peace. Imagine Nora and Tatiana as those two women on the zigzag path, stopping with us now to share their story. Nora Bakarinka moved to the United States in 2004. 10 years before, she spent 100 days hiding in abandoned buildings, sleeping outdoors, fleeing for her life, praying unceasingly to God that He would save her life, the lives of her family and friends, the life of her country, Rwanda.
Then in the city, it became, when the genocide was about to start, it was, the terror was too much. We moved, went to the central part. It's where the genocide found us. And then when the genocide found us, we were living on a mission station. We were working for the church, working for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And while we were there, many refugees, many Tutsis and Modele Tutus, who were scared, they came to hide at the church. And when they came to hide at the church, we stayed there for some days until when we were attacked. They waited until when people were in a big number, more than 1,000 people. Mm. And then one morning, very early in the morning, we were surprised. We were gathered at the church, and they started screening using the identity cards, indicating who was a Tutsi, who was a Modlet, who was so and so. So they screened here to die, here to live. And I was pushed on the side of the Tutsi. And my husband was separated and the children from me. So they started killing right away. And miraculously, I survived that day. But that was the beginning of the nightmare. So for three months, I had to go in the bush and stay there.
And hide.
Until the last one, we were rehabilitated by the new regime which was coming on, by the RPF, which was the army that was coming in to liberate the country. This was the army from Uganda and from East Africa, which was fighting with the government.
Okay. During the 1994 genocide, hundreds of thousands of Tutsi and moderate Hutu men, women, and children were murdered by mostly Hutus who were following a hateful call to action to kill. It is estimated that between 250 and 500,000 women were raped during the genocide, and 70% of rape survivors were infected with HIV. And although progress for women is being made in Rwanda, with 56% of parliamentary seats held by women, violence, disease, and poverty continue to plague the lives of too many women in Rwanda.
The very day. How did you
the
know?
The very day. What happened, we were hiding in that... We went into, the guy who macheted me, he told us, you hide in a broken house, because they could root the house, then kill, and then burn the house.
Okay.
So this was a half burnt house where we're hiding. Then we had in the village, someone had a microphone, was saying, please come forward, who has ever survived, come forward, we're here to help you. There was another lady and me, we stood outside. And we shouted, we said, we are here. We could set them on the next hill. And we shouted, we are here, we need help. And then they came and helped us, and carried us to the nearest village, where our village, and they started treating us.
Rwandans were persuaded before the European penetration that their country was the center of the world, that it was the largest, most powerful, and most civilized kingdom on earth. Rwandans believed that God might visit other countries by day, but every night he returned to rest in Rwanda. An excerpt from We Wish to Inform You That Tomorrow We Will Be Killed With Our Families by Philip Gorovich.
Tatiana fled to a refugee camp in the Congo days before the mass murders began. She lived there with her children until 1996, when she moved to the United States. Thanks, she says, to the grace of God and the kindness of an American man who brought her family here. She had never met him before, and she has never seen him again.
And my husband was here, was at Vanderbilt University. Mm-hmm. And while he was in Tennessee, University of Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. he was in Tennessee. He was trying to get us from there. It was very, very hard. He had to use like the show like this, radio, TV, newspaper, to see anybody who can help me, please bring my family. He was really desperate. Another story make me really to help people. A man from Arizona, not a man even from Tennessee, far, far from Arizona. He heard the story. He called my husband and he said, give me just 3 days. I will go in Congo and I'm going to bring your family. That story make me think, if you don't get help or help others, some you even help one, he helped just us. I don't know if he was able to help others, but he helped just one family. So my daughters, I have 2 sons. So that was a good thing to do. If you help someone, they will be able to survive and they will remember that action all their life.
Rwanda, our beautiful and dear country, adorned of hills, lakes, and volcanoes, motherland, would be always filled of happiness. Us, all your children, Abanyarwanda, let us sing your glare and proclaim your high facts. You, maternal bosom of us all, would be admired forever, prosperous, and cover of praises. Invaluable heritage that God protects to you. You filled us priceless goods. Our common culture identifies us. Our single language unifies us. That our intelligence, our conscience, and our forces fill you with varied riches for an unceasingly renewed development. Our valorous ancestors gave themselves bodies and souls. As far as making you a big nation, you overcame the colonial imperialistic yoke that has devastated Africa entirely. And has your joy of your sovereign independence acquired that constantly we will defend. Maintain this cape, beloved Rwanda, standing we commit for you, so that peace reigns countrywide, that you are free of all hindrance, that your determination hires progress, that you have excellent relations with all countries, and that finally your pride is worth your esteem.
The Rwandan National Anthem.
After the genocide, they found that the majority were the women, they were 70%. And what happened? So the women had to step up. The government empowered the women through trainings, through giving, stepping them in the roles of leadership, and giving them chance to lead. Because afterwards, they filled in the parliament. In the parliament,
mm-hmm.
and right now we have Rwanda has the highest number. I think we have 53%
women
in parliament, which is the highest in the
whole. I want to applaud the women because, as Nora explained, before the war, the women was left behind for education. Is I think all over the world. If you have 2 children, the first scholarship gonna go to the boy. Boy don't go to school and they are trained that way. Women stay home, raise children, clean, cook, and men have to get education. There was a called many jobs, most position was for men in Rwanda. And when the men was dead after the genocide, they found out just women left there. But they was able to work and do the men job and women job. So our organization want to empower the women for education and for health. Because after the war, was the medical is very low in Rwanda, as that education. We want to empower the women. Women can get education, they can work and support their family.
So you seek to, your organization wants to make money to support women in Rwanda?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we want to give education through our organization to stop violence. Because if it was no violence, we should not be here. And the most violence killed the men. We saw it even here in this country after the World War. I heard the story. The women was here. They was not educated, but they was able to work, do men's job and women's job.
Yeah.
And the story was from here. It's the same as Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a saying, when you educate the women, you educate the world. You're educating the world. So we want to empower the women. Women can be able to go to school and they can be healthy and they can support their family.
Following the nightmare she survived, Nora began working with women in Rwanda to rebuild their communities and to heal and repair their broken lives and spirits.
It wasn't easy to put in words because after some months, it was a matter of survival. We lost everything, not even close to where we had to find something to put on our bodies. Then you have to, money at the beginning didn't even have value. So we had to work. And when my husband was put in prison, I had to work to feed my children. I was a bitter person. I didn't want to leave. I felt like I thought maybe I was a coward, but I was wishing to die. I was saying, I wish I can take away my life, but I couldn't do that because I was thinking, if I go, what would happen to my children?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any other person to turn to. So I stayed for my children. And as I started working for other women, I realized that when I looked around myself, I found I was more even fortunate than other women.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them were wounded, others were weak. They barely had education. I was a bit educated. I was luckier.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the job easily, though it wasn't inward, it wasn't easy. Day to day was a struggle. But my job was to go around the country, training the women, putting them in groups so that we could help them financially, giving them seed money to start the income generating projects, and teaching them the basics about planning and accounting. So going to other women, I was hearing their story. They were coming to me, seeing me as if I was a hero, I was stronger than them.
Mm.
So learning through their experience, it helped me.
When I met Nora and heard her story, we talked, said we need to do something to help others who are still suffering until now.
Together, Tatiana and Nora formed Rwanda Women in Action. The mission of RWIA is to support the social, economic, and physical lives of Rwandan women and children and refugees. The group uses traditional Rwandan dance and the peace baskets to spread awareness about the plight of Rwandan women throughout the United States.
We planned so many things, but we said the dance is something we can show to the people. At least they can see the culture of Rwanda.
So this is a Rwandan
dance.
Okay.
That's what we started off. And the Rwandan dance is like therapy. When we dance, we feel happy. Any Rwandan person can dance. You don't need to be professional. You don't need to learn how to dance. Anyone can dance.
Each dancer wore a short underskirt of scarlet cotton draped with a piece of white cloth decorated with colorful designs and long bright fringe. The headdresses were flowing manes of sisal, representing the lion's manes worn in days gone by. Their bare chests were ornamented with beads and bright strips of cotton, and their ankles were encircled with bells. Each dancer held in his hands a lance and a shield. They danced in groups of 30 or 40. During the war dances, Each performer would simulate the joy of provoking and conquering his enemy, with chest protruding, fists clenching the lances and shields, and bare feet hammering the earth. They would leap into the air, tossing their heads and twisting their bodies, bounding higher and higher. They wore arrogant, exultant expressions, signifying the triumph of victory and their contempt for death. Each of the dances lasted 30 minutes or more, and the dancers rested only for short periods between each sequence. Periodically, they would present their weapons to the chief and sing of his great deeds while posturing obsequiously before him. An excerpt from Land of a Thousand Hills, My Life in Rwanda by Rosamund Halsey Carr.
Mostly they use 5 to 6 beats.
Drums,
and then singing, yeah. And then the three tribes meet on the, they join together in the same dance. And there's men dance and women's dance. The men dance as warriors, and the women dance gracefully, like in the move of the cows, because the cows are very highly respected.
Cows.
Yeah, the Ketro.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the word they used, a dori from the, if you go a bride, that's what they use back home. You give
a dowry.
A dowry, yes. A cow is something precious in Rwanda. So we started off to show the culture of Rwanda. Bring two tribes together is enjoyable, make them happy, and anyone, this person, like the dance. And we started with that dance because we wanted something to show here. People can see. We were not firing people. We were not to beat up people. It just happened to be there, it happened to us, but we still loving you. Country, we're still loving people, and we want to show our culture here.
Peace is a process, but we learn from Nora and Tatiana that peace is possible. In a land where betrayal spilled blood into front lawns and sanctuaries, peace is possible. And in your daughter's school, at the bus station, in your neighborhood, peace is possible.
Because we found that the genocide, though it happened in Rwanda or it's happening in Sudan, but within each community, within families, there's a genocide that's not seen. Mm-hmm. There's violence. And we found that it might be the Rwandan genocide to me, to it might be a divorce. Mm-hmm. It might be a separation from your children. It might be a cancer. It might be something. So we thought that we could use the dance as exercise to come, the women come together and do the exercise. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's obesity. Maybe it's something else that you want. Maybe you want to cut down your weight.
Yeah.
So where it's something that we want to establish and bring the women together so that we can be together and have
fun. We, this people, on a small and lonely planet, traveling through casual space, past aloof stars, across the way of indifferent suns, to a destination where all signs tell us it is possible and imperative that we learn a brave and startling truth. And when we come to it, to the day of peacemaking, when we release our fingers from the fists of hostility, when we come to it, when the curtain falls on the minstrel show of hate and faces sooted with scorn are scrubbed clean, when battlefields and Colosseum no longer rake our unique and particular sons and daughters up with the bruised and bloody grass to lay them in identical plots in foreign soil. When the rapacious storming of the churches, the screaming racket in the temples have ceased, when the pennants are waving gaily, when the banners of the world tremble stoutly in a good, clean breeze, when we come to it, when we let the rifles fall from our shoulders and our children can dress their dolls in flags of truce,
when landmines of death have been removed and the aged can walk into evenings of peace, when religious ritual is not perfumed by the incense of burning flesh, and childhood dreams are not kicked awake by nightmares of sexual abuse. When we come to it, then we will confess that not the pyramids with their stones set in mysterious perfection, nor the gardens of Babylon hanging as eternal beauty in our collective memory, not the Grand Canyon kindled into delicious color by western sunsets, nor the Danube flowing its blue soul into Europe, not the sacred peak of Mount Fuji stretching to the rising sun, neither Father Amazon nor Mother Mississippi, who, without favor, nurtures all creatures in their depths and on their shores. These are not the only wonders of the world. When we come to it, we, this people, on this minuscule globe, who reach daily for the bomb, the blade, and the dagger, yet who petition in the dark for tokens of peace, we, this people, on this mote of matter, in whose mouths abide cankerous words which challenge our very existence, yet out of those same mouths can come songs of such exquisite sweetness that the heart falters in its labor and the body is quieted into awe. We, this people, on this small and drifting planet, whose hands can strike with such abandon that in a twinkling life is sapped from the living, yet those same hands can touch with such healing, irresistible tenderness, that the haughty neck is happy to bow and the proud back is glad to bend. Out of such chaos, of such contradiction, we learn that we are neither devils nor divines. When we come to it, we, this people, on this wayward floating body, created on this earth, of this earth, have the power to fashion for this earth a climate where every man and every woman can live freely without sanctimonious piety, without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous. We are the true wonder of this world. That is when, and only when, we come to it. A brave and startling truth, Maya Angelou.
Star Shining Clay was produced and created by Carlotta Michelle and produced and edited by Marisa Bensley. You heard a Maya Angelou poem, A Brave and Startling Truth. More information on Rwandan Women in Action is available at rwia.org. Thanks for listening.